Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Peichet. Shabbat daf Peichet is maybe one of the most interesting dafim in Shas to speak about, at least in my opinion. There's really just so much here that could each and every section can be really delved into and spoken about at depth. Unfortunately, we don't have the time for that. But just to kind of toss up a few interesting topics. So we continue with the machloket that we had yesterday, trying to resolve Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan's machloket as to whether or not Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Sheni or Yom Rishon. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, that is. Tashma, Datani B'Seder Olam. Right, so it's taught in Seder Olam, right? It's a series of brightot that just speak about the development of Jewish history. Nisan shebo yatzu Yisrael Mitzrayim barbasar shachatu pischehen b'chamisha sar yatzu v'oto ayom erev Shabbat haya. Right, so Nisan on the 15th, in Nisan on the 15th is when they left Egypt. On the 14th, they slaughtered their Pesach, and that day was Erev Shabbat. I mean, the Reish Harcha the Nisan Erev Shabbat, Reish Harcha the Iyar Chad B'Shabbat. That would put Rosh Chodesh Nisan Erev Shabbat, and that would put Rosh Chodesh Iyar on Yom Rishon, V'Sivan B'Trei B'Shabbat, and that would put Rosh Chodesh Sivan on Yom Sheni. Kasha Rabbi Yossi, that's clearly a difficulty for Rabbi Yossi, who believes that Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Rishon. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Hamani, Rabbanan hi. Just like yesterday, we were saying that all these brightas that helped the Rabbi Yossi Shita were, taught in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. This Mishnah, this brightah was taught in accordance with the Rabbanan. It's not a problem for Rabbi Yossi, he just disagrees. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Misheni, Ala Moshe, V'yarad, Bishlishi, Allah v'yarad b'revi yarad v'shuv lo Allah. Right. So the on Yom Sheni. Right. So the second of Sivan, the Moshe went up and went up and then went down from Har Sinai. On Yom Shlishi, he went up and went down from Har Sinai. B'revi yarad v'shuv lo Allah. On Yom Revi, he went down and he never went back up. Me'achar shelo Allah mehechan yarad. One second. How is it that he went down on Yom Revi? We never see him go up on Yom Revi. Ela b'revi alav yarad. Rather, you must conclude that on Yom Revi he went up and came back down. Okay, continuing with the proof. B'chamishi bana mizbeach v'hikriv alav korban. So on Yom Chamishi he built a mizbeach and he brought a korban on it. B'shishi lo hayalo pnai. My love mishum Torah. And on Yom Shishi, on the 6th of Sivan, he did not have that opportunity. He did not have the opportunity to do anything because he was preoccupied. Was he not preoccupied with Matan Torah, and that's why he didn't have time? No, Mishum Torah Shabbat. No, he was occupied because it was Friday. It was Yom Shishi. He was busy getting ready for Shabbat. As we all know, you never get anything done on Yom Shishi. So same by Moshe. Darashahu Gilila Ale Rav Chizda. Alright, so a certain Galilean told Rav Chizda, Mbarach Rachmana the Yahiv Urian Tilitai Le'am Tilitai Al Yidei Tilitai Biyom Tilitai Biyarcha Tilitai. Right? So, a lot of threes here, right? So we see that, he's basically saying that, blessed the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who gave a Torah of threes, meaning Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim, right? It's a threefold Torah, Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim, right? To a nation of threes, of Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, on someone who is a third born, Moshe, right, who came from his mother after Miriam and Aaron, Biyom Tlita'ai, on the third day of refraining from relations with their wives, Miyarcha Tlitai, on the third month of the year, which is Sivan, Nisan Iyar, Sivan, right? And that's certainly difficult for Rabbi Yossi, because it's on the third day from abstaining from being with their wives, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who says it's on the fourth day they got the Torah. Come on, Rabbanan. Now that Bright is just taught in accordance with the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yatsvu will be Tachti Tahar. Now we get into some really interesting Agarata about Matan Torah, right? So it says that Klal Yisrael came to a standstill, betachti tahar, literally at the bottom or maybe even underneath the mountain. And that prompts the following idea. Amar Rabbi Avdimi bar Chama bar Chasa, Milamed Shekafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Alehem et Hahar Kigigit. right? So what does this teach you? That they were underneath the mountain, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain and held it over them. Ve'amar lehem, im atem mekablim haTorah mutav, ve'im lav shamtek vuratcham. He says, if you accept my Torah, wonderful, things will be great for you. But if not, this will be your burial place. You're going to die here if you do not accept my Torah. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov mikan mudarab le'oraita. Right, but here we have we have a really strong counter argument for whenever we violate the Torah. Well, we didn't accept the Torah. What do you want from us? You forced us to. Amrava af al pich and hadar kiblu abimei achashverosh dichtiv kimu vekiblu ayehudim kimu mash kiblu kvar. Says no, we can't say that because even though that happened, that we were forced to accept it, we later on accepted it of our own volition in the days of Achashverosh, as it's written that kimu vekiblu. We were mekayim, we fulfilled, and we accepted kimu mash kiblu kvar. Right, we began to be mekayim the mitzvah that we already accepted earlier out in duress. Now, obviously, this is what does it mean that we are forced to accept the Torah? Why was it necessary to force us to accept the Torah? Did we already say Nasa v'Nishma? Why is it only in Yimei Mordechai and Achashverosh that we re-accepted the Torah? What do you want to say about the Jewish people in David Melech's time, in Shlomo Melech's time? Were they not punished very heavily? What was the justification for punishing them if they never accepted the Torah? You want to say that David Melech never accepted the Torah? So many questions that we could ask here, really topics for a different time. But just a quick idea that comes from the Maharal is that perhaps we need to see this as not an active forcing us, but rather we were basically compelled to do so based on the situation. Har Sinai was such a magnificent and miraculous event that the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine providence over the world was simply impossible. It was clear right in front of our eyes. When we were forced to accept it, it means because the choice was so obvious that we didn't, it was so clear to us that what was the Yetzer Hara supposed to say to us? No, don't do it. This is obviously what we were supposed to do. It was as if we were forced into accepting it because it was so clearly what was beneficial to us. We're not forced not to shoot ourselves in the foot, but it is so apparently damaging and painful that you're never going to do it, right? So it's basically forced into doing it, right? So it's not to say that all of Klal Yisrael from that point on, oh, we never wanted to and we never really accepted it. We accepted it. It was just so clear and obvious to us that we accepted it. It was so clear and obvious to us that we accepted it, basically compelled to do so. In which case, it wasn't like something was unique and significant in the time of Achashverosh that we realized that we really needed to accept the Torah that we never accepted. It's rather that Purim is the story of Hester Panim, the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid his face from us and orchestrated miracles from behind the scenes rather than in front of everyone's eyes. In which case, it's not that the time we realized we needed to accept the Torah, it was the first time we truly could accept the Torah of our own volition, because if the problem with our acceptance at Har Sinai was it was so obvious that of course we were going to do it, then our first opportunity to accept it out of our own volition was when things were not obvious, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself for the first time. It was the first opportunity we could have to accept it so voluntarily without the obviousness of its of the necessity to accept it at the time. Weiter, Amar Chizkia, Mai Dichtiv, Mishmai Mishmata Din Aretz, Yira Vishketa. What is it that is written that you make judgments from the heavens that instill fear and calmness? Im yira lamashketa, im shketa lamayira, ela betchila yira ulvsof sheta. Right? If it was instilling fear, why were we calm? If we were calm, why was it instilling fear? Rather, initially instilled fear, and afterward it became calm. The lamayir of. So why are we afraid in the first place? Kidereish Lakesh, Dama Resh Lakesh, Maidichtiv, Vahi Ere, Vahi Voker Yomashishi, Hey Yetera Lamali. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, upon creation of the sixth day, said Yom Hashishi, as opposed to just Yom Shishi? Why do you need that extra hey? That extra hey is an illusion. Melamechit, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Mase Bereshit, Im Yisrael Mekabel Matora, Temit Kaimim, Vim Lav, Ani Machzir Etchem, Latohu Vavohu. Right, so the hey is to say that the creation of those 6 days was conditional. If Klal Yisrael was going to accept the Torah, on the sixth day of Sivan, then you're going to continue to exist. But if not, I'm going to return you to Tohu Vavohu, what was your original state before I started building you up. And that's why at first, upon the creation of the land, there was a tremendous amount of fear, because the fear was that maybe Klal Yisrael wouldn't accept the Torah and the land would not continue to exist. However, once Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, then it was calm, because then by accepting the Torah, we brought Kiyum. Now, we brought Kiyum to the entire land. For those who want to look into that further, I would suggest looking at the first parak of Nativ HaTorah, the Maharal's Nativ HaTorah, where he explains kind of the significance behind both the idea of Kafalim Har Kigigit and the idea of what it means that Klal Yisrael, I'm sorry, not, he doesn't talk about Kafalim Har Kigigit, he speaks about the concept of the entire world being contingent upon Klal Yisrael's acceptance of the Torah, and connects it to the idea in Bereishit Rabbah that Kadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah before creating the world to know how exactly to design it. Darash Rabbi Simai b'shashik dimo Yisrael nasa l'nishma ba'u shishim ribo shel malachei asharet l'kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kashu l'shnei k'tarim echad k'neged nasa ve'echad k'neged nishma v'kem v'chad v'Yisrael yadu me'e v'esrim ribo malachei ha'chabala u'perkum sh'nemar v'yitnatzlu b'nei Yisrael et Edyam Mehar Choreb. So when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, the ministering angels came down. There were 600,000 ministering angels who came down to tie two crowns around each and every Jew's head. One keneged Naaseh, one crown for Naaseh, for their commitments to fulfill the mitzvot, and one keneged Nishma, their commitment to listen and to learn the mitzvot. However, when they did Chet Egel, twice the amount of angels came down who were destructive angels to take the crowns off. Now, it's interesting why the administering angels could make two crowns, but you needed one destructive angel to remove each one of the crowns from each one, a member of Klal Yisrael's head. But still, a tremendous praise was given to Klal Yisrael for saying Nasa V'Nishma. Amar Rechama Bar Chanina Bechorev Tanu, Bechorev Parku, Bechorev Tanu, Kida Amran, Bechorev Parku V'Natzlu B'nei Yisrael. Right? So, similarly, it was taught that the crowns were placed upon them, or loaded upon them at Har Chorev, and the crowns were taken off at Har Chorev. How do we know the crowns were placed on them? That's what we said about Nasa V'Nishma. How do we know the crowns were taken off? As it says, V'itnatzlu B'nei Yisrael, that B'nei Yisrael were basically stripped of their jewelry from Har Chorev. Their jewelry were these crowns that were given to them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan V'chulan Zacha Moshe V'natlan Nisamech Moshe Yikach Et Ha'ohel. Right? And actually, Moshe received all the crowns from everyone, as it's written afterward, that Moshe took the tent afterward. Amar Reish Lakish, Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu Lachziran Lanu Shneemar Ubiduyei Hashem Yeshuvu Vatzion Merina V'Simchat Olam Al Roshem. So how do we know that Klal Yisrael eventually, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to return the crowns to us? As it says that the Klal Yisrael is going to be redeemed, and Simcha will be upon our an eternal Simcha will be upon our heads. Simcha Shmeolam Al Roshem. Right. So what does it mean that Simchat Olam, not an eternal Simcha, but rather a Simcha that was once a long time ago upon their heads? What was the joy that was once upon our heads? Those are the crowns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for saying Nasa V'Nishma. Amar Rav Elazar, Meshashagli Mishra Nasa V'Nishma Yasta Batkol V'Amar Lehen Migila Livnai Raz She Malachei Asharet Mishtam Shimbo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Batkol went out when we said Nasa V'Nishma and said, who revealed to Klal Yisrael this secret that my angels employ? In Dichtiv Baruch Hu Hashem Melachav Giburei Koach Osei Dvaro Lishmo Bekol Devaro. Right? Notice that Osei, that the performing of God's will, was written before listening to God's will. Bereish Osei V'Hadar Lishmo. So it's an act of the angels to first do and then to hear. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was like, who told Klal Yisrael that this is what my angels do? This is a secret that my angels do. First they commit to doing, and then only afterward they hear what the mitzvot are. Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, my dichtiv ketapuach be'atzei hayar. What is this pasuk? What does it mean? The pasuk that says that Klal Yisrael is like an apple in a forest. Lama nimshelu Yisrael tapuach lomar lecha matapuach ze piriyo kodem la'alav af Yisrael hikdimu naase lenishma. Right, so just like Klal Yisrael, just like Klal Yisrael, or just like an apple, the fruit starts to grow before you see the leaves of the fruit, so which is not a natural form of growth. So first you have the leaves, and then you have the fruit, generally. So to Klal Yisrael, they went about their growth in an unnatural way, because first they committed to doing it, and then only after they committed to hearing it. And it's interesting how we seem to emulate, meaning it's hard to wrap our minds around how that would work for Klal Yisrael at the time, but this is certainly what we emulate as a nation afterward, the descendants of the Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, right? I mean, first we start practicing the mitzvot in our own homes. Generally, we're brought up on mitzvot and practices that we do before we have any idea what we're supposed to be doing and why or what the specifications are. We daven, and eventually we learn about davening. We do this mitzvah or that mitzvah, and eventually we learn about doing those mitzvot. That comes later, really, after we already practice. Generally, when you're learning Hilchot Shabbat, you've already been keeping Shabbat for a good few years, right? We also seem to emulate Klal Yisrael by being makdim the nasa to the nishma by prioritizing the, or not by prioritizing, but first entering into the actions and only afterward learning about them. So a certain tzaduki saw that Rava was studying Gemara. He was sitting upon his fingers, and blood was gushing from them. He didn't even realize. Amar le, ama pazita de kamaita pumaychu ladunaychu, akati be pachzu taychu kamaitu bereisha ibayluchu lishmoa. Right, and he said to Rava, "You impulsive nation, you've always been impulsive. You can remain to be impulsive, right? Meaning you're still like you're so engrossed in your learning, you don't even realize that what you're doing is damaging. You're bleeding, but you're so wrapped up in these things that you don't even notice." What you're doing, just like you've always been so wrapped up in Torah that you don't even notice what you're doing, right? And that explains your impulsivity by Matan Torah. First, you should have heard what God had to offer, and then you should have decided whether you wanted to accept it. If you didn't like it, then you shouldn't have accepted it, right? So you're an impulsive nation who remains to act impulsively without really thinking about what you're doing. Amar le, anan, disagina mishle muto, ketiv bad, tuman disharim tenachem hanach ina disagin baliluta, ketiv behu, veselef bog. Right, so Rav responded to him, you know, us, we act in complete faith, right? We trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu, our actions come in complete faith, and therefore, what's written about us is that our perfect faith is going to guide us in an upright manner. But you, who don't act in faith, rather you act in your own interests. About you, it's written that people who act in their own interests will be eventually destroyed. It's interesting to note. I don't know many tzedukim now, but I do know a lot of descendants of Rava who are still learning Torah to this day. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, my dichtiv. I just want to just to further that point. There's a certain amount of faith, when it comes to learning, right? Both learning the Torah and learning the Gemara, which is our oral traditions passed down. Which I think this is really the strong point that can be driven home, right? Because Rava was learning Gemara, Davka. He was learning the oral traditions. He wasn't learning Chamishei Chumshei Torah. This is what the Tzedukim rejected. They rejected the oral traditions. They believed that it was only that only Chamishei Chumshei Torah was proper to follow. And this is what the Tzeduki was calling him out for. You're so engrossed davka in the Shmi'a, right? In the Gemara, in the oral traditions, you don't even think about what you're doing. I think that's the point that he really wanted to make, right? You don't even think about what you're doing. You're just learning Gemara. But I, a Tzeduki, I know that learning Gemara is pointless because because the oral traditions were invented by the Rabbanim. That's the fundamental thought of the Tzedukim. However, what Rava responded to him, he goes, you know what? We have faith. We had faith then, before we heard what was in the Torah. We expressed faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We said we're going to follow it, and then we're going to learn. So I have faith now. I have faith now that I'm going to learn the oral traditions, right? I'm going to practice the oral traditions, and I'm going to learn about the oral traditions. I have faith that this all came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You lack faith. You do what's in your best interest, and eventually you'll be destroyed. And it was that for every generation, really every single generation that we've seen, anyone who has faith in the Torah Shebaal Peh and in his faith in the traditions passed down by the Rabbanim, they seem to continue to exist. But where are all the nations and all the religions and all the sects of Judaism that branched off, that rejected Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Where are they now? How are they maintaining themselves? If it's been, you know, if it's been 1,000 years that completely ceased to exist, if it's been a couple hundred years, then they're completely lost to assimilation and intermarriage, right? It is the people who have faith in the Torah Shebaal Peh and the oral tradition, they seem to continue existing. Right. Furthermore, right. So, a more agadata about Klal Yisrael, about Matan Torah. My dichtiv lebavtani achoti kala lebavtani beachad meinecha. Right. So, what is it written that you captured my heart? You've captured me with one eye. Beachad betchila meinai. Beachad. Right, so initially, right, just by committing to do by committing to follow the Torah, we have attracted a Kadosh Baruch Hu with one of our eyes, in a sense. So we caught his attention. However, when we really start keeping the mitzvot, that's when we attract him with both eyes. That's when he knows that we're interested. Amar Ula Aluva Kala Mizana Mitoch Chupata. Right, so an elaboration of what it was like at Matan Torah when we committed Cheta Egel, it was stated that the shameless bride does not commit even while under the chuppah, right? So basically that we committed znut, right? Under the chuppah itself. I mean, it's one thing at a certain point in a marriage, it's a terrible, terrible thing if someone is unfaithful. But we, as Klal Yisrael, we were a bride who was unfaithful while still under the chuppah, right? Because we were still at Har Sinai. Which was the place of our covenant, our place of our marriage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we worshipped idols of the Chet Egel. Amar Rav Mari Barad Bat Shmuel, Mai Kira Ad Shamelech B'Misibo Nirdi. And what was written about the Shir HaShirim, that while the king is still in his celebration, in his party, from the wedding, our perfume started to give out. Amar Rav Adain, our perfume started to give out. This means that Kadosh Baruch Hu was still celebrating the wedding with Klal Yisrael, and already we stopped smelling good to him because we started worshiping idols. Amar Rava v'adayin chavuto hi gaban dichtiv natan velo katav hisriach. Right. So still, by the way, to after we brought in that pasuk as support for Ula's description that even under the chuppah we already started becoming bad smelling, as it were, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or we stopped smelling good to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rav interjects and says, but still he didn't lose his affection for us entirely, because it doesn't say that the perfume became bad smelling, it just said it started to lose its good smell. Tano banan aluvin ve'enan aluvin shomin cherpatan ve'enan mishivin osin me'ava v'smechen bi'isurin alein ha'kaduv omer ve'ovav k'tedesh. Those who are insulted but do not insult. Those who are disgraced but do not respond to the disgrace. They sit and take it. Those who follow Kadosh Baruch Hu from love and embrace the suffering that he brings upon them, which is certainly not an easy act to do. About them, it's written, right? That those people will go forth stronger, like the sun rises. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, Hashem yitein Omer hamavasro tzava rav kol dibur v'dibur sheyatzav epiyag vurot nechalek l'shivim l'shonar. What is that which is written that Hashem declared Hashem yitein Omer hamavasro tzava rav? What is that pasuk a reference to? The fact that every single thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, everything he uttered, divided into 70 different lashonos, so everyone was able to hear it. Right, Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael Kipatish Yiftzot Tzela. It was like when a hammer strikes a rock. Mapatish Zenechalek LeKamanitzotzot Av Kol Dibor VeDibor Shatam BeGadosh Baruch Hu Nechalek LeShivim LeShonor. Right, just like when you strike a rock, sparks shatter in all different directions. Right, even though it comes from one banging, it comes from one thing hitting another thing. Sparks shatter in all different directions. That's what it was like when Kadosh Baruch Hu would speak and his voice would scatter in all different directions, meaning in all different languages. Amar b'chanan aval papa, my dichtiv, shemu ki negidim adaber, lamanim shilu divrei Torah ki nagid, my nagid zeh yesh bo lamit lahachyot, av divrei Torah yesh bem lamit lahachyot. Right, so what does it mean, that which is written, listen, because I will speak things of negidim, and a nagid is like a prince, it's royalty, right? So it's to tell you, well, why was the Torah compared to something of royalty? Just to tell you, just like a prince has the power to pardon someone from the death penalty or give someone the death penalty, so too the Torah is able to grant life, but is also able to take away life if not used properly. Hainu de Amar Rava the maiminim ba samadichaye lemasmalim ba samadamuta, right? And that's what Rava says when he said that those who use it with their right hand, right, it gives them life. Those who use it with their left hand, it brings about their death. I mean, it's the same Torah. It's like a drug, right? You use the drug properly and it's going to heal you, but you use the drug improperly and it's going to be detrimental to you. Davar acher negidim kol divar v'divar she'asam pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu koshim lo shnei kitarim, right? Alternatively, right, why was it compared to negidim, to a prince? Because a prince is royalty. And by the way, there are multiple princes. It doesn't just say Nagid, it says princes, right? Why? Because the acceptance of the Torah warranted us the two crowns of Nasev and Ishma, and that's a symbol of royalty. So Nagidim, in plural, to refer to two crowns that we received for saying Ashav and Ishma. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Maidichtiv, Tzor Harmor, Dodi Li, Ben Shaddai Yalid. Amar Knesset Yisrael, Vnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Av Al Pi, Shemeitzar, Memar, Li, Dodi, Ben Shaddai Yalid. Right? So what does it mean that which is written, that a bundle of myrrh, is that myrrh is beloved to me between my beloved's chest. That is to say that even if we reject God and we become bitter to God, still we're going to be brought close to Him and brought between His chest. Meaning, even when we do wrong and are disgusting in the eyes of God, still He brings us back and He still loves us. Eshkola kofer dodi li kicharme ein gedi. Right, another pasuk from Shir Hashirim that we're going to try to interpret here. What does that mean? Mi shakol shelo mechaper li. The one to whom everything belongs is going to be mechaper, is going to atone for me. Al avon gedi she. She karamti li, right? So what is he atoning for? The avon of the gdi, right? The sin of the kid, right? Of the golden calf, which I brought upon myself. My mashma dehai karmi lishna de machnishu. And I didn't know that the lashon of karma is a lashon of put upon, that we put upon ourselves. Our marzucha brother of Nachman kiditnan kise shel koves shekormim alav et akelim. Because he was taught in a Mishnah about a launderer's chair, that's where they put upon the clothing. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my dichtiv, lechayav ke'arugat habosem. Right? So what does it mean about Kadosh Baruch Hu that his lechayav, his cheeks are like a patch of spices. Kol dibur v'dibur shatzam v'piyah Kodesh Baruch Hu nitmala kol ha'olam kula obisam chivan shemidibur rishon nitmala dibur sheni eichan alach. So everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the entire world filled up with good smelling fragrances. But once he said one thing and the entire world was filled up, where was the second thing that he said supposed to go? Hotzi Kodesh Baruch Hu et haruach me'otzrotav v'yam avir rishon rishon. So Kodesh Baruch Hu took out the wind from its burial, from his treasure chest and let it scatter the fragrance, so he can make room for the new fragrance. Shneimar sisotav shoshanim notzav mor over al tikur shoshanim ela shoshanim. Right, so that which is written that basically his lips bring about a flowing. Don't read shoshan. His lips are flowers, and they bring about a flowing. Rather, they read his lips repeatedly flow out air. Rather, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to let air flow out of his lips repeatedly to make room for the new dibor that he's going to say. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and kol dibor v'dibor shiatsam be'yad Kadosh Baruch Hu yatsa nishmata shel Yisrael. Right. So every time the Kadosh Baruch Hu said something, Klal Yisrael would die. Their neshamas would leave their bodies. Shneimar nafshi yatsa b'dabro. Right. As it stated that my heart or that my nefesh left my body when I heard him speak. My charsh b'dibor rishon yatsa nishmatan dibor sheni haich kiblu horid tal shatid lecherbo meitim ve'chetav otam shneimar geshem nidavot tanif ale Elohim nachlatcha v'nale ota konanta. Right, since we died the first time we heard him speak, how are we able to accept even the second of the dibrot? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu used this tal, this heavenly dew that he's going to resurrect the dead with to bring us back to life, as it's written that there's going to be a generous rain that's going to bring restore people to life. That's the dew that he uses to resurrect us. V'am Rabbi Shua ben Levi kol dibur v'dibur shatzam b'pi Kadosh Baruch Hu chazur Yisrael acharen shneim asar mil. So every time Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, Klal Yisrael was knocked back 12 mil. V'ayu malchei hasharet midadin otam Vayu Melachei Shar Medadin Otam Shneemar Melachei Tzvaot Yedudan Yedudan Al Teki Yedudan Ela Yedadun. Right, so that's and the Malachei Shar were helping us get back slowly. So what is it that was written about the Malachei Shar that they went back slowly? Don't read that they went back slowly. Rather, they helped us move back slowly. Amar Bishua ben Levi B'shas She'ala Moshe LeMarom Amar Malachei Shar Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Mal Yolid Isha Beinenu or Baruch Shalom Mal Yolid Isha Beinenu. Right, so when Moshe went up to Shemayim, the Malach Yasharet asked, what's a human being, the son of a woman, doing amongst us here in Shemayim? Amar Lehen Lekabel Torah Ba. Right, he says, well, he's coming to accept the Torah. Amar Lefanav, Chamuda Genuza, She Genuza Lecha, Tesha Meot Veshivim Ve'arba Dorot Kodem Shenivra Ha'olam. This thing that has been, this treasure that has been stored away for 974 generations before you even created the world. That's an idea for a different time of what it means that the Torah was stored away 1,000 generations before it was ever given. Right? You're going to give to flesh and blood? Are you serious? Why is flesh and blood so significant? Right? Why are they even going to be remembered? Are they even significant? Hashem Adonenu, ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz, asher tina hodecha al ha'shamayim. Right? Your name is already great in the lands, right? You should bestow such a glorious thing upon us in the heavens. You should give us the Torah. Amar al-Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, hechzir len tshuva. So interesting, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer the Malach Yashar. He says to Moshe, you should answer the Malach Yashar. Hashar, am l'fana, rebo shalom, mit yara ani, shema yisrafu b'hevel. And Moshe says, I don't want to respond to them. I'm afraid that they're going to open their mouths and burn me. Amar lo, echoz b'kise v'kvodi v'chozor len tshuva. Right? You should grab onto my throne and then respond to them. If you grab onto my throne, you're going to be protected. Shneimar me'achaz p'nei kise, parshaz alav anano, right? So that which is written that if you hold on to the throne, the cloud is going to cover you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him with a cloud as long as he was holding on to the throne. Okay, then what did Moshe say? Amr lefana av ribono shel olam Torah shatanotein Torah shatanotein li makativ ba. So Moshe said, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Torah that you're going to give to me, what's written in it? And Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher titicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. Right, so he says, I'm Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. Amr le'en le'Mitzrayim yoratem le'faro ishtabatem Torah lamateilachem. So Moshe said, now to the angels, were you in Egypt? Were you enslaved to Paro? No. So what do you need? What's the Torah to you? There's a Torah that's telling us that I'm Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt when you were enslaved to Paro. That's clearly not talking about you, Malachi Asharet. Shuv Maktiva. Again, Moshe asks, what's written in it? Lo yelecha Elokim Acherim. Ben Amim Atam Shurim Sheovdim Avodat Gilulim. So then Moshe said to the ministering angels, now you amongst other nations who serve false gods that you're going to be susceptible to, Shuv Maktiv. So the Torah is not going to be relevant to you. Shuv Maktiv Ba. Right? So what else is written in it? Zachor Dima Shabbat Lekocho. Call my day of Shabbat in order to sanctify it. Right now, do you need a day of Shabbat? He said to the ministering angels, do you need a day of Shabbat? They need to rest from? You don't do any malacha. Shuv makdipa. Again, what's written in it? Lotisa. He says that you shouldn't take God's name in vain, meaning make a false swear. Masa matan yesh v'neichem. Right? So do you have any business dealings that you're likely to come to take a false swear because of? Shuv maktiva. Again, what's written in it? Kavet avicha v'timecha. He says, honor your father and mother. Av ve'em yesh lechem. Says to the ministering angels, do you have a father and mother? Shuv maktiva. Again, what's written in it? Lo tirtach lo tinav lo tignav. Right? You can't murder, you can't commit adultery, and you can't steal. Kina yesh v'chem, yitzara yesh v'neichem. He says, what? Do you have jealousy among you two that this is going to be a problem? Do you even have a yitzara hara? Or that you're going to come to do any of these things? Miyad ha'olu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then they conceded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was correct in giving his the Torah to the Klal Yisrael. How do you know? Shenemar Hashem Adonenu ma'adir shimcha. Right? Because it says later on in Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your name is so great upon the land. But they do not say v'ilu tenah hodech al shemayim lochtiv. And it doesn't repeat and say bestow your glory upon the heavens. Right? Why don't they ask to bestow his glory upon the heavens? Because that's the Torah that they accepted. It should go down to the Aretz and not to stay in heaven. They agreed with Moshe. miyad kol echad ve'echad nase lo oev u'maser lo davar. Right, then immediately afterward, all the angels fell in love with Moshe, and they all gave him something. Shne'emar alit l'marom shivita l'shvi l'kach l'matanot be'adam b'schar shekarucha adam l'kach l'matanot. Right, what does it mean that you went up to the heavens and you took the presence of man? It was because you were called a man, because they referred to you as a man, distinguishing you from themselves, that they gave you presents, right? Because you deserve the Torah. Af malach ha'mavet masar lo davar. Even the malach ha'mavet, the angel of death, gave him something. Shne'emar v'yitein et ha'ketoret v'chaper et ha'am. Right, as it stated that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron put the incense in the pan in order to atone for the nation. Ve'omer v'yamod ben ha'metim u'ben ha'chaim. Right, and it's also said that they stood between the living and the dead, and then the plague stopped. Ilav da'amar le'mihavayada. Now, had the Malach HaMavet not explained to him what's to do here to make the plague stop, he never would have known. Rather, he received it as a tradition from the Malach HaMavet. Now, I just want to point out one thing. It's very interesting. Meaning, lichora, this whole exchange is odd, right? I mean, on the one hand, like, what did the Malach HaSharet not realize that Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them? They thought it was going to be relevant to them. They didn't realize what was in the Torah. If they didn't realize in the Torah, what was their complaint? And how did Moshe, you know to respond to them? And once they realized that the Torah was speaking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they realized all of a sudden, oh, I guess this has nothing to do with us, you know? So it's a very odd conversation what the Malach HaSharet didn't realize that Moshe did, right? So I think it's something like this. I want to be medayik, and this is my own answer. I want to be medayik in what Moshe Rabbeinu says, which he doesn't say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is written in the Torah. He says, the Torah that you are going to give to me, what's written in it. And I think that that's a distinction that we can make between Torahs when we talk about learning Torah. Learning Torah could be the Chomishe Chumshe Torah. When we talk about that the Torah, there is the Torah, a Sefer Torah. That's five books of Moses, as it were. That's a specific text, right? And then there's Torah, which is essentially the pursuit of understanding truth in this world, and the divine will. That is Torah in a much broader and more abstract sense. And I think that such absolute truth that the Torah does reflect, that such absolute truth, that's what the Malach HaSharet were concerned for being brought down to the land. That Klal Yisrael should be a privy to such absolute, unadulterated truth that really only belongs in the heavens, right? That's what they were concerned about. So Moshe doesn't ask what's in Torah. He says, what's in the Torah that you're going to give to me? Right? Meaning there's Torah in an abstract sense, a pursuit of truth, a pursuit of the divine will. That may not be in such a clear, such a clear, unhidden state, may not be appropriate to bring down to land. However, the Torah that God is giving to Moshe is not just the full Torah in its abstract sense. It's a very practical guide to how to live our lives, appropriately. And so when Moshe says, what is the Torah that you are giving to me? So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him these commandments, these specific things that are mentioned in the Torah. And that's why the Malach HaSharet realized that he's not just giving them this pure truth. Rather, he's giving them the truth masked by very practical directions for Klal Yisrael that only very, very few are able to expound upon to understand the deeper depths of what the Torah actually is in its essence. And so what the Malach HaSharet realized was what we were getting was not necessarily an unhidden version of absolute truth. Rather, what it really was the truth adopted in a way that would help Klal Yisrael follow a Kadosh Baruch Hu that was really only ever fit for mankind. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu disguised the truth behind practical means of serving Him. And that's when the Malach HaSharet realized that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was absolutely truthful. That in order to do what we needed to do in this world as human beings, we need this Torah that God is going to give us, which is the truth wrapped up in a practical means of serving God.